Blog Talk Radio.
Even went to school, got herself a degree, and got
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. So glad that you have stopped by the show today, or if you're listening in the archives later, we really do appreciate you coming by and taking the time out to listen to the show. We have an exciting show today, the topic, so I hope everyone will enjoy it. And before we start, we will pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what our ears would hear, our eyes would see, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for being God all by yourself. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. And Lord, I ask you to look throughout the United States on each and every person today that may be out the ark of safety, those that may be in bad weather somewhere, that's stuck somewhere. Lord, bring them to safety today, dear Heavenly Father. Bless the children throughout the land that's stuck in classrooms and places, dear Heavenly Father, haven't had chance to get home or whatever, dear Heavenly Father. Parents that's not able to get to work. God, I know you are in charge of everything, and we say thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise in advance today, dear Heavenly Father, for everything that you're doing, for everyone that's being saved right now, even with this broadcast going on, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today, our topic is for the last Wednesday in the month of January. Just think about it. We were just saying Happy New Year, beginning of the month. And here we are coming to the close of the month, the 29th of January. This month have really just went by. It's time. It's not waiting on anyone. So we better be on time because God is always on time for us. So today we're going to be talking about trust God in time of pressure. And with much going on in the world today, things happening with the weather, the words say that, you know, it was going to come a time where you wouldn't even know the season. People are being hit with bad weather, snow, cold, ice that never had it before and don't know what to do or how to get in and get out of it. But you know, God's sitting high and he's looking low. So today we're going to talk about trust God in time of pressure. And some of the tag words I will use today and give you definitions of them is pressure, conviction, integrity, compromise, please, accountability, threat, action, trust, obey, and commit. My. You know, when you think about all those words, and you think about trusting God in time of pressure. You know, we may feel pressure. That's my first take word. To please, that's my second one. People to whom we are accountable, that's the next tag word. Though we know pleasing them means displeasing the Lord by violating his commandment. We may even be pressured by implied or direct threat. For various reasons, we may be tempted to go along with action. Most of us experience or have experienced pressure to confirm our Christian conviction and integrity. So with some of the words today that I'm using, you know, most of us experience or have experienced pressure. And when you think about pressure, the action of force upon a surface by an object, fluid, and etc., a state of being pressed or compressed. You know, you can be pressed by people, by circumstances in your life and compressed. You know, my next word is to compromise our Christian conviction and integrity. You know, compromise is a settlement of difference by mutual consent, an argument reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposite claim. And when we come to conviction, you know, we're talking about a fixed or a firm belief. You know, your conviction, you'll be convicted. You're going to stay with it. You're going to have a firm belief on what you're saying and what you're doing. You're going to be fixed. A declaration that a person is guilty of an offense. When you're talking about conviction, even in the court system, the judicial system, I'll say that, that'll take up everything. Integrity. You know that means to abhorre to moral and principle. Soundness of moral, character, honesty, being whole, entire, undiminished integrity. You know, we as men and women of God need to have that integrity. You know, we may be a pressure to please people. They come with that word please. How many of you all are always trying to please everybody but God and yourself? You're trying to please the boss. You're trying to please your husband. You're trying to please the children. You're trying to please the neighbor. You're trying to please everybody but God. And you don't please yourself because you're so stretched out that you're trying to please this one. You're trying to please that one. And when it comes down to, you see that you're just all bogged up and tied down where you really don't know which way you're going. You're coming and going, because you're trying to run here to please this one, running over there to please that one. So, you know, people to whom we are accountable, you know, accountable is subject to the obligation to report, explain, or justify something. Somebody responsible to someone, being accountable. On your jobs, you're accountable. In ministries, you're accountable. At home, you're accountable to someone or for some action. You got to be accountable for. You know, they'll tell you in a minute, you know, well, you're accountable for keeping this registered together. You're accountable for the Bible study. Or you're accountable on your job for the different tasks that you have to do or delegate to somebody, but you still accountable. You know, though we know pleasing them means displeasing the Lord by violating his commandments. You know, we may even be pressured by implying or direct threat. How many of you all have been threatened by people on what they're going to do and what they say? You know, sometimes for various reasons, we may be tempted to go along with action and policies that clearly are opposed to biblical standards of truth and righteousness. I think I will say that one again. Sometimes, for various reasons, we may be tempted to go along with actions of other people and policies of other people that clearly are opposing to biblical standards of truth. You see that going on in the world today. They're going by action, how they feel, but they're not going through the biblical standard of truth and righteousness that's in the Word of God. You know, nevertheless, the Lord expects us to trust and to obey him, even when we are under great pressure to violate his standards. You know, you have to learn how to trust and obey God times of pressure. You under pressure, you're being scrutiny on your job, in various walks of life. But when it comes down to the law, to the biblical standard, you're violating them. You're not trusting God in time of pressure. You know, you feel pressure to please everybody. And you know, that's a bad thing. You're trying to please Johnny. You're trying to please Mary. You're trying to please Johnny. You're trying to please Paula. And when it come boiled down to it, where was God in the picture? Where was the biblical instruction that God gave you? Well, if you accountable, Sadie, for thus, 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 and thus. Okay, but you put God on the back burner. And somebody will call you on the phone. I need this done, this done, this done. Somebody else will call you. I need this, this, this. And in the course of a day, you started out what God told you to do. But when you look at your list or look back at what he told you to do late in the night, you find out you're accountable to God, but you haven't did anything that God have told you to do. You running yourself and your life raggedy on what everybody else telling you to do. You trying to please everybody but God. And God is your main focus. When you please God, everything going to fall in place. You know, and as I thought about this topic, trusting God in time of pressure, right now with the weather the way it's going, people are pressured. People can't get to work. People likes being cut off, gas being cut off, coal as it is. People being pressured. Get off the road. How can you get off the road if you're stuck on the road? Where are you going to go? Accountability. You know, as I thought about that, I went to the scripture on 1 Kings in 2 Chronicles 17, 2, 21, and 1, and then you'll hear me probably jump back over to 1 Kings 21 and 22. And as I was reading that, you know, the Lord had demonstrated his sovereignty on Carmel and had given Ahab successful victory over Ben-Hadad. Ahab's heart was unmoved, issuing into sin through promoted idolatry. You know, this includes the worship of a golden calf as well as the worship of Baal. And Elijah pronounced judgment on Ahab and Jezebel for their conspiracy against Naboth to gain his behind yard. How many of you all know people are doing crooked things, doing stuff to take somebody's home, they land, they car, they line, they connive, they pressuring you to do this, they pressuring you to do that, and you haven't even taken time to even pray, to give it to God. You rushing off, unprepared, half-cocked, no accountability. You know, and in the scriptures, as I was reading, when pressured to compromise God's message, Michael chose to be true to the law. He gave to Ahab God's message, even though it was opposed. The message 400 other prophets had given the king. You know, sometime had passed since Ahab victory over Ben-Hadad of Aram. Ahab was at his place in Jezreel. He set his heart on obtaining a nearby vineyard and using it as a vegetable garden. But Naboth, the owner, refused to part with the ancestral property. How many of you all right now that's going through that? You have property that your forefathers, parents have left for you. And it's somebody that want money so bad, they keep pressing you. I need you to sell this. Why don't you sell this and give me my part? Won't you sell this and sell this and sell this? Just pressing you. But are they trusting God in the time, or are you trusting God in time of pressure? You know, when you think about it, Ahab became sulken and angry. And the word translates sulken means pervish, heavy, and sad. The word for anger can mean displease. You can displease God. He laid on his bed sulking and refused to eat. How many of you all do that? You get to a point in life where you've been pressured so, you've been pushed down, till you just don't know which way to go. But the way to go is to Jesus. And you know, as you would read on in this chapter, when Jezebel learned the reason her husband was in such a pitiful state of mind, she assured him that she would get him what he wanted. She would give him a demonstration in the use of royal authority. You know, the queen sent letters to the elders and nobles of Jezreel under Ahab's seal, that is, with royal authority. You know, the letter instructed them to declare a day of fasting. Such a call fast implied that the community was in trouble, evidence from someone's sinful behavior. My. You know, when you think about it sometimes, do you go off in a fast? Do you pray about it and ask God what you should do? Or do we do a fast because we heard everybody else churches doing it, or 10 people doing a fast? But did God put you on a fast? Think about that. You're being pressured in so many things in life today. And here they was talking about, you know, such a call fast implied that the community was in trouble. They were to place near him two men who, for a price, had consent to falsely accuse Naboth of cursing God and the king. How many of you all know people have put other people up to lie and say and falsely accuse you of things, putting pressure on you, as the young people would say, tightening up the screws on you to make you do what they want you to do? But, you know, Jezebel's plan may have fooled the people, but not the Lord. God sent a message to Ahab through Elisha. He condemned the king and declared he would die a violent death, as would Jezebel. You know, also the Lord would end Ahab's line, his descendants, and every male in his family, slave or free, would be wiped out, as were the house of Jeroboam. You know, the Lord destroyed that dynasty because they had sinned and called Israel to sin. Put into death, every male ensured that Ahab would have no descendant to assume Israel's throne. You know, pressure, being pressured into things. You know, concerning the kings, the Lord's message was, in the place the dogs licked up Naboth, blood. Dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, even yours. That's right. Concerning the queen, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. You know, dogs also would devour the members of Ahab's family who died in the city, and birds would feed on those who died in the country. You know, these pathetic indicated that death would be violent. The situation would not allow for properly bury the dead. You know, when you think about that, being pressured into something that you don't want to do. If so many people today are being pressured in things, take this, take that. Well, you went. You didn't want that car. You wanted something else. Don't let nobody pressure you in that. You have a lawsuit. They want you to take less than what you know it's worth that we should be going. Don't let nobody pressure you. On your job, you know you deserve that promotion. God have already told you about it, the promotion. Don't let them pressure you. Don't let them tell you no end and everything that is not of God. Go to your word. Read your word and see what the word is saying on your behalf on that situation. You know, apparently, he wanted to do all that she pressured him to do, talking about Jezebel. He behaved in the most detestable manner by worshiping idols. All of the northern kingdom kings continued the idol worship at Dan and Bethel, but Ahab was the absolute worst of all. His behavior was typical of an Amorite way of life, and the term Amorite refers to the tribe that occupied the land of promise before the Israelites drove them out. You know, after Elijah drove prophecy to Ahab, the king humbled himself before the Lord. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, fasted, and went around meekly These were signs of mourning or repentance. You'll find it in 1 Kings 21, 27 through 29. You know, as an expression of his great mercy, the Lord sent a word to Elisha saying he would not bring disaster on Ahab's house until the days of his son. You know, Ahab planned to retake the city. But you know, when you're being pressed, when you're going through things that you don't need to go through, you know, the king of Judah agrees, saying, I am as you are, my people, as your people, my horse, as your horse. You know, this statement illustrates the implication of their allegiance by marriage. However, Jehoshaphat wanted Ahab to seek counsel of the Lord about such a plan. You know, such a request by Jehoshaphat is in line with the latter description of his reign over Judah. You know, Ahab brought together 400 prophets and asked whether he should go to war against Ramah Gilead, because these prophets spoke for the Lord. These apparently was prophets related to the worship center at Dan and Bethel. You know, to a man, they told him to fight, promising that the Lord would give Ahab victory. Their quick answer seemed to indicate they knew what that king wanted to hear and was committed to tell him just that. You know, they had a vast interest in pleasing the king. And at that time, you know, that's where we come at, that pleasing pressure to please the king, which wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jehoshaphat asked Ahab whether a prophet of the Lord was available. His question indicated he did not accept the 400 as true prophets of the Lord. You know, I can say that, you know, the text referred to 400 simple as prophets by vocation. Jehoshaphat wanted a God called prophets of the Lord. Ahab remained and replied use of his childish self-centeredness and pointing out Naboth refused to sell the vineyard. We almost can hear his whining tone as he acknowledged one prophet of the Lord was available, but that he hated that prophet. Why? Because he never prophesied good about Ahab, only bad. You know, Ahab liked prophets who told him he wanted to hear, not what he ought to hear. And Jehoshaphat gently sighed Ahab for saying what he did about the Lord's prophet. You know, Ahab identified this prophet as Micena and sent word for his office to bring him before the king. And the scene for the meeting of Micena and the kings were impressive. Both kings was dressed in their royal robes and were seated on the throne by the gates of Samaria. Now, here come these 400 prophets of the Israelite religion was prophesying before the king. One prophet is Zekiah had made a set of iron horns and prophesied, with these you will gore the Amorites until they are destroyed. The other prophets were saying the same thing, telling the king to attack, for the Lord would give them victory. But you know, you got to be careful of being pushed and pressed into situations that you have no business being in. And when you think about it, Michael said, as sure as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tell me. And that's what we should do. God's prophets was being pressured to tell Ahab exactly what all the other supposed prophets were saying. Those prophets was among those who followed their own spirit and had seen nothing. You know, here Ahab's wife Jezebel had killed many of the Lord's prophets in her zeal to promote Baal worship. Here Ahab had already killed Naboth to get something he wanted. How many of you all you two know today are slaying and killing other people to get what they want? Are they lying on them? They're doing all kind of things by trying to put pressure on them for the wrong thing, the wrong reason. You know, most believers experience various kind of pressure to compromise Christian conviction. For example, let's take a firm stand on God's word, doing only what he wants us to do. When we do what God wants us to do, we're going to come out as pure gold. But when we start listening to all the voices and everybody else saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, you come out being pressured and stuff that you're wondering, how did I get myself into this mess? How was I pressured in this? Because you stopped listening to God and went to listening to everything else but the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about it, God have given you a vision, told you what to do. He didn't tighten the screws on you. So why would you let somebody else walk up to you and put so much pressure on you where you don't know you're going or you're coming? You haven't took time to pray to the Lord and ask God what he's saying about the matter. Everything that glitter don't mean it's gold. And we have to think about some of these things before we jump into everything sometime. Sometime we are pressured into things and we did something that we had no business doing. And then we go to God then and ask God, you know, to get us out of these things. How did I get myself in this situation? For right now, I'm going to take a break and play us a song, and I will be back.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. For the rest of my life, I'm going to serve him. Today, for those that are just coming on, our topic today is trust God in time of pressure. And some of the tag words that I use throughout the broadcast today, and get out, so gave you definitions of each one, was pressure, conviction, integrity, compromise, pleased, accountable, threat, action, trust, obey, commit. We're talking about, you know, when you feel pressure to please people. I know it's a lot of people in the world today. They feel pressure to please people, please God. They figure if they're pressured to please them, they're going to do what they want them to do or say what they want them to say. But where is God in this picture? You know, even though the Lord knew what Ahab would do, he patiently and mercifully sent his true word to Ahab through Michael, giving God gave the king an opportunity to hear the truth and to act on it. You know, Michael even told Ahab about that the 400 prophets was lying to him. You know, Ahab's hardened heart and self-will determined his decision. His choice brought God's judgment on him to completion. You know, did God compel Ahab to reject his word? No. That was Ahab's own choice. You know, did God compare Ahab's prophets to prophesy what Ahab wanted to hear? No. That was their own choice, rooted in that desire to stay in the good grace of Ahab as sovereign Lord. You know, God chose to use all of this to accomplish his sentence of death on Israel, unfaithful and disobedient king. You know, Michael refused the pressure to compromise God's message. That was my two words again, pressure and compromise. You know, he refused to take a popular and easier path. God expects us to hold to and live by his revealed truth despite any pressure to do otherwise from anybody. I think I'll say that again. God expects us to hold to and live by his revealed truth, pressure, to do otherwise. You know, here Michael suffered immediately consequence for standing by his conviction, but God ultimately vindicated him. You know, we have to think about the things God wants us to do, things God telling us to say, and things that people want you to do. You know, people are having you in trouble. You are ended up, just roughly example, down by the railroad station. The train is gone, and you should have been on a train going to your destination. But you've been pressured by people, so you got there late. They already told you what time you need to be at the train station. I'm using that as an example. To be on the train is pulling out the station on its way to glory. But you've been pressured and listening to this one, you're listening to that one, you're running to this one, you're running to that, and you're trying to get a word here, you're trying to get a word there. But when it comes down, are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in God in time of pressure, or do you just throw up your hand, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to go? Trusting God in time of pressure. Accountability. You know, nobody wants to be accountable no more for things that they do, things that they say. We got to be accountable. Even when we wrong, ask God to forgive us. Go to God and repent. If it's somebody you say something to that was wrong or you didn't realize it was the wrong thing, be a man, be a woman, go to her. Say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I had the wrong concept. I did something wrong. Don't wait till pressure got you where you just like that tea kettle. You put it on and all of a sudden that water go to boiling in that tea kettle and you hear that whistle that on the end of that tea kettle and it's about to pop off and it just and you know you just so, you got so much pressure in you, you're about to blow up. Anybody that passes and say, tell me, your fuse just go off. Pew! You know, when you think about that, you got to trust God in time of pressure, because people are going to put pressure on you. But have you forgot about God in the time of pressure, or are you trying to let all this stuff go on without the help and the aid of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, as I was reading in the Word of God, Michael was applying to himself the standard Moses gave for determining who was a true prophet. You know, the mark of a true prophet was that what he prophesied would happen. A false prophet's words would not come true. Common events would prove Michael's message was from the Lord. Even in face of prison, he stood on God's word. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand on God's word, no matter what it looked like, what it seemed like. If God said it, stand on it. If God told it to you, you can go to the bank, to the Hawaii, anything on. If God has said it, he is not a God that will lie. And it's a challenge for us to base our behavior on the teaching of God's words, regardless of worldly pressure to do otherwise. You know, disregarding God's warning through Michael, Ahab and Jehoshaphat led their foes to Ramoth Gilead to battle the king of Aram and his army. Ahab must have suspected that Michael's prophecy could be true. He decided to enter the battle disguised as a regular soldier, but had Jehoshaphat wear royal robe. The two kings led their men into battle. You know, during the battle, the Lord announcement judgment on Ahab took the form of an Amorite arrow launched at no particular target. It struck Ahab between sections of his armor. Ahab knew his chariot driver to get him out of the fighting because he had been wounded. For the remainder of the day, Ahab's men propped him up in a chariot facing the Amorites to encourage the Israelite troops. He would continue to hemorrhage, and the blood pooled on the floor of his chariot. By evening, he was dead. Since they had no leader, Ahab's army cried, every man to his town, everyone to his land. And you know, that cry echoed Michael's prophecy. Ahab's body was taken to Samaria and buried. You know, when Ahab's blood was washed out of the chariot, dogs licked it up just as the word of the Lord had declared. You know, during Ahab's reign, he had built a luxury palace liberally decorated with ivory. And when you think about that, all the stuff you're doing and you're putting and you're storing up, don't you know you're going to leave all that stuff one day? You're not going to take none of that stuff with you. You've never seen a U-Haul on its way to the cemetery with none of the possessions you had here on earth. No matter how many millions you have, how many palaces, houses you have, places of business, whatever, you're not going to take any of that with you. It's to use while you're here, spread it out. Help somebody else. Don't let everything just get to you. Trust God in time of pressure. Because we're going through some precious time. We're going through some times now where pressure is being put on each and every person that's in America right now. Pressure. But who are you going to listen to and who are you going to turn to? Hopefully you trust in God. No matter how much pressure that's put on you, that you won't leave the word of God, that you will continue on listening to what God said. Because everybody that's speaking in your ears is not speaking on your behalf. Everybody that's running to you with this and that is not on the behalf of the Lord. So you're going to have to watch what you're doing, what you're saying, who you're listening to. Because when that pressure starts coming to you, you're going to forget about God. And they tell you to trust God in time of pressure. But a lot of times people say, I can't take it. If they try to take the easy way out by doing suicide, doing all kind of crazy stuff. That means they're not trusting God in time of troubles or time of pressure when it hit. We got to put our focus and our total mind in Christ Jesus. We can't just let every little thing just throw us off track. We got to continue on with the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As I thought about that, trust God in time of pressure. And as I was looking at the weather this year, last week and this year, I mean this week, on how much pressure is being put on people. People that can't get to their job. The employers is putting pressure on, I need you here, I need you here. But if you can't get through the snow, through the ice, your phone blowing up, they're putting pressure on you. But are you trusting God through the pressure? Are you really trusting God? That's where your trust, your faith, your belief come in. It's with God. You know, pressure is to feel people to whom we are accountable. Though we know pleasing them means displeasing the Lord, we are violating the commandments. We may even be pressed by implying or directly threats. You know, some people like to threaten people, put them under pressure, want to threat them. No matter what you're going through right now in your life, trust God in time of pressure. Don't lean to your own understanding. Give it all to Jesus, because he's going to work it out. He will surely, I'm a living witness, turn it over to Jesus, and he will work it out. You don't have to let all that pressure get to you where you blow up. Because if you're going through something, God is standing right there by you. You have angels that's right there with you. But you got to know that. You got to read, you got to study, you got to ask God to endow all these things in you. You can't run off half-cocked. You got to trust him no matter what. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. And here, God won't leave you. When you're trusting in God, he's not going to walk away from you. He's right there to the end. And I'm going to play this little song for you by Gilbert Patterson. You won't leave here like you came.
Like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick or lame. Hallelujah. For the power of the Lord is still the same.
I'll bring you on call as soon as
so
the phone go off. I'll bring you on call as soon as you reach us.
Won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Can I say it again? You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick or lame. For the power of the Lord, it still remains the same. yeah. My time is up. But I got to say it one more time. You won't leave here like you came. Is there anybody need a blessing tonight in Jesus' name? Bound, oppressed, afflicted, and in pain. Oh, Lord. Yeshua, for the power of the Lord. I said the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord. It remains the same. Say it quiet. Up your hands and bless them tonight. I said, I won't leave here. Oh, yeah. I'm not leaving here like I can. Now clap somebody and tell them, we won't leave. Oh, we won't leave here. Yeah. We won't leave here like we came in Jesus. Somebody ought to clap your hands and give a Lord a praise offering in this place. I don't know what you came in the house with today, but if you cast your cares on the Lord, tell somebody you don't have to leave here like you came. Be healed, be delivered, and be set free. Ah, yeah.
Yeah!
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have a caller that came on from area code 832. Caller, you are now on the air.
Well, it's been a wonderful Bible study. I've enjoyed everything that was said today. We need more of that kind of teaching so that we can grow and nurture in the Word of God. And it certainly has been an astounding fact in the lives of people that need the change and need to behold the Word of God. I certainly appreciate your Bible studies, and God bless you and keep you.
Well, thank you so much, caller, for coming on. Because I thought about that topic on which much pressure as people are going through now in the world, and how we have to trust God in time of pressure. And with the weather has been bad all across the state for the last 2 weeks, and looking at all the people that's stranded today in different parts of the country, people getting bad weather that never had it, snow, ice, that normally wouldn't have had it. And they, you know, they have to trust God right now in time of pressure. Even being stranded on the road, you got to still trust God in the time of everything going on, chaos in your life, marriages, children cutting up, you know, stuff going on in the colleges, in the school, in the workplaces, just in life general. That, you know, we have to trust God because there's pressure everywhere, but we have to learn how to trust in God no matter what pressure, what screw somebody trying to screw on us. We got to go to God in prayer and let God work that thing out for us. I want to thank everyone today for coming on the broadcast. Thank you so much, area code 832, for giving us a few words of wisdom and thing on the study today. Thank you. Other ones, area code 770-713-423. We thank God for you all coming on today. And I want you all to have a blessed day. I have to get some more shows together for the new month of February, which is a short month. But we hope in Jesus' name to be on with some new shows. Hope is something is said and done today on trusting God in time of pressure that will help you along your Christian journey today. And as we leave the broadcast, but not before God's presence, we hope to meet again on next Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central Time. I'm pretty sure it's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So do come back on and enjoy the broadcast with Joy and Peace with Overseer Sadie Elliott. Bye-bye.